Behold, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. We sing in our psalm books, Face to Face with Christ my Savior, one of my personal favorites. One day we're going to see Jesus, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the day we see Jesus. I want you to think about that for a minute. Standing face to face with Christ, my Savior. There's going to be a big multitude. There's going to be a large crowd there, but eventually you'll work your way forward, and you'll be right there. Think about that statement or that concept of face to face. Face to face means intimacy. When you're speaking to someone face to face, there's a closeness there. There is a close relationship. There's a personal nature to it. It's a meaningful thing. And one day, we're going to stand face to face with Jesus. That is amazing if you think about it. We're talking about the one who created the world. John 1, verses 1 and following. All things were created through him. You're standing face to face with the one who made the entire universe, including you and me. You're standing face to face with the one who spoke that Sermon on the Mount, the high moral values that are spoken there, one of the greatest sermons ever preached. You're standing face to face with the one who hung on the cross for you. You're standing face to face with the one who was resurrected out of that tomb. That is a very meaningful thing. A lot of times in our Bible studies, in classes, and in our sermons and other things, we talk about Jesus and all the things that Jesus did. We don't know what he looked like. We've never spoken personally with him. But you're going to be standing face to face with Jesus. That's impressive to me. And so I thought we would benefit this morning from a reminder of that great day that is coming. All of us have days ahead of us that are important, but nothing like this one. Graduation from school is important. The day we get married is important. The day we get our first job. The day we have our first child. The day we die. We have these days in our lives that are important to us, but nothing is going to be like this day. I've been hearing lately about some of the young people talking about their school schedules that are coming up. And that's a good thing. What kind of a schedule do you have? Listen, this one's on the schedule. Do you know this one's on the schedule? This one's on the schedule. It's coming up. And think about the grandeur and glory of just standing face to face with Jesus. And if we've lived right, and if we're right with him, what a great day that is going to be. A glorious day, an encouraging thing. We're going to anticipate that and want to get up to the front of the line so that we can stand there. But if we're not right with him, then that is going to be a very troubling day. Let's talk this morning about the day we see Jesus. As I said, there are a lot of days in our lives that have meaning. But this is the great day. Spoken of so many places in the Scripture, you can see some of these here. In Acts 1:11 was our Scripture reading that those two angels said that you're going to see Him coming again just like you saw Him going. That is the main day that needs to be on our mind every day. We might have retirement coming up, which is good, but not like this day. Graduation, marriage, our first child, and those things that I spoke of, those are some interesting days and they have some value to it, but nothing like this day. And John says, we will see him as he is. No more questions about what he looks like. I remember when I was a child, brethren discussed, did Jesus have long hair? Did Jesus look like, you know, your average Jewish male? I remember brethren talking about that when I was little. Well, you'll know what he looks like. And to see him face to face. What will that day be like for you? What will that day be like for me? It's on the schedule. It's a part of the schedule. Let it be a day that is happy. Let it be a day of rejoicing. Let it be a day where we anticipate and we're glad to be standing there. And confident, John talks about in 1 John, that we can know and we can have these assurances. And let it not be a day where when it comes time for us to step up, we're hesitant. And we're pushing back. But we're glad to step up and face our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to use a passage of Scripture there where the Apostle Paul talks about this day. And in this one brief verse, he mentions four things that we want to consider for our admonition this morning. The day we see Jesus. Put out of your mind anything that you might have planned this week and anything that you might have planned the rest of your life. Nothing is like the day you see Jesus. So let us prepare our hearts and minds and lives while we can so that when we face Him and see Him, and it's that face-to-face meeting, we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul writes, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." In this one verse, there is packed four very important lessons for our consideration this morning. And I hope that when we look at this, we will appreciate that one great day that lies ahead. That day that we see Jesus. Everything else that we've been anticipating in life pales in comparison to this one great day. And we're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a moment that asks a question. What will your answer be? And let it be that we have obeyed the Lord and that we've lived faithfully and we're ready to go and be with Him in heaven. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ." The day that we see Jesus, attendance will be required. You know, there's a lot of situations in life where you don't have to show up. Some people don't show up to work when they should. Some people don't show up to school when they should. Parents got their voicemail the other day about the Montgomery County truancy policy. All the parents are saying, "Yeah, I got that. 5 days, miss 5 days and there's going to be a problem." Some kids don't show up at school. Some church members don't show up to worship. Some spouses don't show up to their marriage. Some parents don't show up to parenting. There are situations in life where people need to be somewhere and they're not there. But I'll tell you what, on this day, the text says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Attendance will be required. Everyone who has ever lived and is now currently living will be there. That's a big crowd. No absentees. No changing the date. No saying that I don't want to show up. I'm going to sleep in. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to be there. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so I want you to think about that. And I want us to think about our life in relationship to God. And we need to be living properly so that we can go to be with Him in heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 28 that all that are in the tombs will hear my voice and come forth. Everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. So the first thing that we're reminded of this morning is that attendance will be required. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32, when Jesus is talking about that great coming judgment day, He says that all nations will be gathered before Me. You know, there are times when we don't have to face certain things. And the way you do that is you just don't show up. Remember that time in school where that test was coming up on Friday and all of a sudden on Thursday, now, I don't feel very good, Mom, Dad. I don't feel very good. I think I got some sniffles. I think I got a stomachache. And so the way we got around that was we just didn't go. Well, that didn't work on this one. We'll all be there. When Paul was preaching before Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse 15, he said that there's a coming day in which there's going to be a resurrection of the just, those who are righteous and good and pure, and the unjust, the wicked. Everybody's going to be there. And so this morning, I want us to think about that. There's no escaping and putting it off and not even showing up. And that'll be something that my parents have to show up to, but I don't have to show up to that. We're all going to be there. And so now is the day to make sure that our life is right with Christ. Attendance will be required. And then the Apostle Paul says in chapter 5 and verse 10 of 2 Corinthians, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ." The day we see Jesus, judgment will occur. You know, today what we're going through is this worship service, and we talk about our daily Bible reading, and we've taken the Lord's Supper, and there are things that we do each day as a Christian. And there are things that we do on the first day of the week as a Christian, but it doesn't involve standing before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a different day. This is not a church service. This is not a Wednesday night Bible study. This is not a daily Bible reading at home. This is the judgment day. It's a different kind of a day. And so Paul says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a time to prepare anymore. Today is the day that we prepare. Today is the day that we're to be living faithfully as a Christian and obey the gospel and be a good example and all that. But this is a different kind of a day. This is not a day of preparation. It's a day of judgment. And so Paul says we must all, attendance will be required, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment will occur. It's a different kind of day. As I said, it's not a church service. It's not an invitation song. It's not a baptism. It's not many other things that we... It's not a home Bible study. It's a judgment. You ever been in a courtroom? Ever been in a courtroom? That's a different setting, isn't it? It's a little bit different setting than a cafeteria, than a store at the mall, than Kroger. It's a different setting, and everybody knows it, don't they? See, this is a different kind of a day. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "The words that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day." That's why we need to be listening to Jesus' words in the New Testament. That's why we need to be following them and living by them. That's going to be our standard of judgment. His words in the New Testament will judge us in the last day. What's going to be on the test? Are you holding a New Testament? That's what's going to be on the test. There are some things in the New Testament that were for first century Christians, things like miraculous gifts and so forth. But the majority of it is for us today, and it's all going to be on the test. But it's a judgment day, brethren. That's a different, it's a different setting. It's a different day. And in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, Jesus says that He's going to come and all nations are going to be gathered before Him, and He's going to sit on His throne of glory and judge all of these nations. When you step up to Jesus, it's not going to be a conversation about how that you can become a Christian. You won't have an opportunity then. It will be a judgment. The conversation will be a judgment. It won't be a conversation on how that you can be baptized into Christ. That's long gone. It won't be a conversation about how that as a Christian you haven't been living faithfully and you need to come back to me. That won't be the conversation. That day's gone. It'll be a conversation of a judgment. If you ever had to stand before a judge, he's not talking to you about personal matters in your life and this and that. He's talking with you about what you've done or have not done. And that's what will happen here. It'll be a different kind of day. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 that Jesus will come and He will judge the living and the dead. The living, those who are righteous, and the dead, those who are dead in sin. Everybody will be there. And we're either righteous or we're not. And it will be a day of judgment. What will be the judgment given to you and given to me? Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul goes on to say a third point. We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. And then Paul writes that we might receive, or that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done. The day you see Jesus and the day I see Jesus, justice will be served. You know, we live in a time period now where people get by with all kinds of things. It's crazy what people get by with. Some things maybe are not that meaningful, but other things are very meaningful, such as murder and grave types of immoralities and injustices. But in this day, each one of us is going to receive a reward or a punishment based upon, look at the word according. That's a very important word. It's based upon how we are living our life now. And there will be no mistakes in judgment. There will be no injustices of judgment. Every once in a while in a courtroom setting across the land, a verdict is handed down and it's a grave injustice. Sometimes the guilty are let off and sometimes the innocent are falsely accused. But none of that will be in this day. Justice will be served. Because Paul says everyone is going to receive exactly what they deserve. Turns me to Acts chapter 17. Paul had been preaching in the city of Athens there, and he comes to the close. He'd been preaching to them about the one true God. And he says that this one true God, the times of ignorance, therefore God overlooked. But now He has commanded men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as He, God, has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained. And that's Jesus. He has ordained that His Son would be the judge. But look at the text. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. It's going to be a fair and balanced and just and right trial. There will be absolutely no injustices whatsoever. We will receive exactly what we deserve. No mistakes in judgment. And what's interesting about that is, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, the judge has the ability to look right into the secrets of our heart. He knows those private things that are going on. To receive something that is done in the body includes the private thoughts and intents of the heart.
And so Paul writes in Romans 2 and verse 16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ."
You know, when we step into a courtroom, there's a judge, there's some attorneys, there's a jury, but they can't look into the secrets of the heart. They can't read minds. And so they have to go on outward evidence that has been displayed one way or the other. But the judge sitting on this day when we see Jesus, Jesus can see the secrets that are inside of us. So it doesn't matter whether mom or dad know it. That's beside the point. It doesn't matter whether our boss knows it, or the teacher knows it, or the principal knows it, or the law enforcement knows it. It doesn't matter. That's beside the point. Jesus will know. I think sometimes we base our conduct on, well, who knows what I'm doing? Well, that's beside the point here. Jesus knows all. And so God is going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. There are things that go on in our lives that maybe no one knows about, and all of that will be brought to light. One reason why in the courtrooms across the land today, one reason why there are injustices, it's because at the end of the day, we cannot peer into someone's heart. We can't read anybody's heart and know exactly what went on. But Jesus can. Human judges do the best they can in juries. I sat on one jury in my life back in the 90s on a court case that involved forgery. Someone had forged a check. It was interesting. But you sit there as a jury, you do the best you can with the outward evidence, but none of us could read the secrets of that person's heart. But all of that will come to light. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, "Wherefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall each man have his praise from God." So, everything will be laid out there before the Lord, and He will bring justice, even those hidden things that others don't know about. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul closes that thought that we're all going to receive what has been done according to the body. And then he says right there at the very end, "whether it be good or whether it be evil." Whether it be good or whether it be bad. The day you and I see Jesus, sentencing will be final. We've either done good or bad. We've either done right or wrong. We're either living a righteous life or a wicked life. Those are the two choices. And that's what the sentence is going to be. And when it is given and when it is handed down, it will be fixed and final. There's no changing on that day. Today we have time to change. We can do different things. We have more opportunities. We have invitation songs and we have things like that. But on that day, when you see Jesus and you're standing there, there are no second chances. There are no more invitation songs. There are no more Bible classes and Wednesday night talks and gospel meetings and none of that. And so, whether it be good or bad, there's either going to be a reward or a punishment. We're going to stand face to face with Jesus. And really, my thought this morning is not of a negative nature. When I think of that, I think of a very positive thing. One of my favorite songs in the songbook is "Face to Face with Christ My Savior." I view that as a positive thing. So let us live in such a way that that can be an encouraging thing, a rewarding thing, and it doesn't have to be that other. But there are only two sentences.
On two occasions, one in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and again in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said that those gathered before Him, they're either going to hear, "Come, blessed of my Father," or they're going to hear, "Depart from me, ye who are accursed." Those are the two things you're going to hear. Let's make the change this morning to hear, "Come, blessed of my Father." We don't want to hear, "Depart from me." You want to keep being with Jesus. You're standing face to face with Him, and you want to hear something to where when the judgment is over with, you can go and be with Him for all eternity. You don't want Him standing right at your face and saying, "Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. Depart from me." You don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And there won't be any changing. There won't be any discussions with Jesus. There won't be any bargains. There won't be any, "Can we discuss this and do something different?" There won't be any of that. Today we bargain with our parents. We bargain with our employer. We bargain with this and that. And we try to, let's talk this out. Let's think this through. There won't be any of that. And the sentencing will be final. Jesus said, "Some will go away, the righteous will go away into eternal life, and the wicked will go away into eternal punishment." And that's fixed. There is no changing that. And turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. When the Lord comes again, there are two options. He's going to come in flaming fire. And those who have not obeyed the gospel, what does Paul say? "Rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints," and look at this, "and to be marveled at in all of them that believed in that day." It's either going to be a day in which Jesus says to us, "Leave and go away into flaming fire," or we'll stand there and marvel at Him. Look at that. Those who marvel at Him. I don't know about you, but I'll be standing there marveling. He created all things. He's right here. He created all things. He hung on the cross. And all of those things, just marveling at that whole thing. Those are the two choices. Now, if we're not right with Him, we're not going to be marveling. We're going to be sent away to that judgment. "Who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction," and look at this, "from the face of the Lord." Depart. Get out of here. That is a defeating thing to hear, a discouraging thing to hear. And we walk away with our head hung low, and there's nothing we can change about that. Jesus said in John chapter 5 that when He comes again, all that are in the tomb shall hear His voice. And He says everybody's going to come out. The good will come out unto a resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto a resurrection of judgment. And there's no changing those two things. There's no third option. You know, the Mormons in their theology, they have three different heavens. Three different heavens, three different choices. The really good one, the one that's not so good, and the one that's even less than that. They've got these choices in their theology. There aren't three choices, there are two. Heaven or hell. And when that sentence is handed down, it will be final. And that's why we need to be in the kingdom. Paul says that when Jesus comes again, He shall deliver up the kingdom to God. The kingdom are people. And we need to be one of His people when He comes again. So when He delivers that up and hands that to God, we're in that multitude. We need to be a citizen of God's kingdom today. And we want to hear and ever be with the Lord. Paul talks about that when Jesus comes again, we will be caught up in the air with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You get to stand face to face with Him, and then you get to be ever with Him in heaven. What an encouraging thing. And
And in the next chapter, chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says that we should live together with Him around that throne, singing praises to God. That's what we want, brother. And so Paul says, the day we see Jesus, attendance will be required. Judgment will be handed down. Justice will be served. And sentencing will be final. Keeping that in mind, then, as we close this morning, I want to close with some admonitions that are given in Scripture to encourage us to be right with God when that day comes that we're all going to see Jesus. Number one, let's watch, because we don't know when that day is going to be. Jesus said Himself, Matthew 25:13, that you know not the day nor the hour. Let's be watchful. Let's be vigilant. That's our number one priority in life. Each day is to be ready when Jesus comes again. Those other things that we talked about earlier, those are fine aspirations, but they are not as important as being ready for Jesus to come. Be it the graduation, or the marriage, or the first child, or the first job, all of those are fine aspirations, but being ready when Jesus comes, that is the number one. And we don't know when that is, so let's make sure that we're watching every day. Make Him your life. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. If every day Jesus is our life, that means His Word is our guide. His example is what we are following. People see Jesus in us. We have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 verse 5. When we're living each day and Jesus is our life, Paul says we're going to be ready when He comes. Colossians 3, verse 3, you died and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifest, then shall we also with Him be manifest in glory. When He's manifest, if Christ is our life, everything about me is Christ, then I'll be manifest with Him in glory. Number three, let's patiently wait for that day to come. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. I'm not talking about waiting around in a lawn chair. I'm not talking about waiting around where we might just be waiting for somebody to show up and we're not really doing anything. This is talking about where we patiently follow His Word. There may be troubles and trials in our life. There may be changes in our life. There may be unexpected types of things that go on. But each day I'm simply going to live a faithful Christian life and I'm waiting for the Savior to return. Our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of His glory. We're going to be changed, and we're going to be able to stand and see Him face to face. And we're just simply going to wait patiently, trusting and obeying each day. There's going to be days where we don't see the full picture, or we don't understand how this particular Scripture fits into my life, but I patiently trust and obey it. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Christ, having been offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time apart from sin. Look at this. To them that wait for Him unto salvation. We just wait each day. And James says the same thing, waiting for the Lord to return. And what's interesting about James chapter 5 is that James is speaking that in the context of injustices and things that aren't always going right in life. And James says, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. He had just been talking a few verses earlier about how they were mistreated by their employers. There's going to be injustices and problems and things that happen to you at work and other places that aren't right. But you patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. The husbandman, the person who goes out, the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Murmur not, brethren, against one another, and be not judged. Behold, the judge standeth before the door.
brethren, for example, take the suffering and patience of the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord. And then he goes on to talk about Job. There are things that happen in life that aren't fair and right, but we patiently wait for Jesus to come each day and we don't give up. And we faithfully keep the commandment. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. You know, we live in a world today, even in a religious world, that downplays the commandments of God. Sometimes people say, well, you're always talking about doing things and obeying things and strictness and this and that. Well, look at Paul's statement here. When we're waiting for Jesus to come, look at what Paul tells Timothy. That you keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important, yes, to follow the commandments each and every day. And we need to love His appearing. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Jesus came the first time, and we need to love that. And if we love that, and we obey the gospel this morning, if we're baptized into Christ, that's how we show our love. If we go out each and every day and we live faithfully, that's how we show our love. But Paul said that I'm going to receive a crown of righteousness when Jesus comes again. And look at what he says. And not to me only, but to all of them that have loved his appearing. He came, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recorded that life. Others recorded that life. He appeared the first time. If we love that appearing, we love that he died on the cross for us. We love when he preaches in his word. We love who he is. We love everything about that first appearing. We obey him. Paul says that's the person who's going to receive the crown of life when Jesus comes again. That person who loved his appearing. And then let us have our hope set perfectly on that day. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. What are you hoping? What is our hope each and every day? Some people hope for more money. Some people hope for a better job. Some people hope for a bigger house. Some people hope for this and they hope for that. What is our hope set on each day? Peter says, wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to bring us grace if we're right with Him. And we have our hope set on that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. I'm sorry, that should be 2 Peter 3 and verse 12. 2 Peter 3 and verse 12. Looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God. That's what our mind is set on. That's what our hope is set on. And we're going to do what we need to do to be right so that we can face Jesus. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. What will your answer be? What will this day be for you? What will this day be for me? The absolute important day that lies ahead. It could be later today. It could be later this week. It could be sometime off into the future. But it's that day when you see Jesus. And I see Jesus. What will happen when you see Him? Well, we know what will happen. We're told in His Word. It's on the schedule. It's coming. Let us be ready for that. When we sing this song of invitation, if it encourages you to step forward and be right with God, do that so that you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't want to hear, depart from me, you who work iniquity. That's going to be a great day. The day we see Jesus, let's see Him in a way that we are right and ready for Him. And if we can encourage you along those lines, well, why won't you come as we stand and sing?